Dr. Jacob Murray contributed to a series of advocacy briefs which speaks about how COVID-19 has impacted children's health care. Education, early childhood development, nutrition, mental health, and exposure to violence. These briefs also called on the government to put the children at the center of South Africa's COVID-19 response and recovery plans. Welcome. Please tell us more about yourself.
My name is Jacob Murray. I'm a pediatrician at Paul Hospital, and I have a passion for child health and community health, for the first 1,000 days of a child's life, and onto long-term health conditions, and making sure that the services that we provide for children are optimal, and that children are being placed at the center of healthcare.
You're a health worker that's been active during this pandemic. How are you feeling?
Being a health worker during this pandemic was quite challenging. You know, you work with people, colleagues, people under you that works under a lot of stress, with lots of emotions and a high workload, and every person needs to find coping mechanisms to deal with these stress and emotions. And for me personally, it was quite challenging, but I have a good support system, and I think that helped quite a lot during this pandemic.
Today we'll speak about routine health services and how it was impacted by COVID. What are routine health services?
Routine healthcare are those services that provides the basic care for children in a health system. So this includes your primary health system that does well baby visits, but they also do screening for HIV, HIV treatment, and the same with TB. They screen for malnutrition and also a lot of preventive services. Like your immunizations, your vitamin A, and also deworming. And then it also, all of those things need to happen at the primary level. And then you also have the hospital services and services for long-term health conditions. So those are the children with cerebral palsy, asthma, and also your mental health, your autism, ADHD, epilepsy, those kind of conditions that requires chronic and ongoing care and support. And without these services, these children can become very sick. They can even die. So it's very important that these services are upheld.
Did COVID have an impact on health routine services for children?
Yes, COVID had a big impact on child health and basic health services for children. Although we did not see a lot of severe COVID infections in children, the impact that the pandemic had on the health services as such was quite dramatic. For instance, the services at primary health care was compromised due to the de-escalation of services, and also due to the travel restrictions, the lack of public transport, you know, financial constraints from parents, and also the unwillingness to attend health facilities due to the fear of being exposed to COVID-19. So the utility rate or the amount of visits to primary healthcare clinics dropped dramatically by 23% in children less than 5. So that means about 483,000 less children were seen at a clinic level in 2020 versus 2019. And that had a huge impact, on screening for malnutrition, HIV, TB, and also preventive services like immunizations and, you know, the basic care for HIV and other children with your chronic long-term health conditions. For HIV, we saw that there was a drop of 29% in the total HIV tests that was done. And we saw an increase of in infants testing positive at 10 weeks, a 57% increase. And that, you know, these disruption of routine health services will have a long-term cost for health, of ch the health of children and their growth and development. The pandemic also had a marked effect on hospital services for the province. And for example, there was an 18% decrease in the total number of admissions for children under 5. And this means that more than 14,000 less children were admitted in 2020 compared to 2019. And this is partly also due to the decrease of acute admissions. We saw that the pneumonia admissions were lower, but it was also due to the de-escalation of elective services. And this include, you know, services for children with long-term health conditions, for instance, children with disabilities and children with you know, cerebral palsy that required elective surgeries. And these non-urgent elective surgeries were cancelled or postponed. And you know, the subsequent potential long-term impact for these children's you know, can mean prolonged pain and suffering, or even the risk of severe complications.
How did COVID impact children's health and nutrition?
COVID had a huge impact on children's health and nutrition. And we saw that during the pandemic, you know, the pressure on poor households and the rising of unemployment and increasing food insecurities, you know, coupled with the disruption of routine health services for children, you had a very big impact on children's immediate and long-term health, and also their survival and development.
What can be done to address these problems to better protect and support children moving forward?
I think there's quite a lot that we can do to better support and protect children moving forward. The first thing that we need is leadership and advocacy for child health at every level of the healthcare system. We saw with the COVID pandemic how the response was mainly driven towards adult services, but we need to make sure that children are being put at the heart of the response and recovery plans moving forward. Then we also need to make sure that essential services for children are protected, and this includes the primary healthcare services, monitoring of growth, immunizations, and also the management of common illnesses like pneumonia and diarrhea, and then also screening and treatment of malnutrition, and then also children with long-term health conditions and all the services that goes with this. And we need to make sure that these services are protected and sustained regardless of other pressures on the systems. Then another thing that we need is collaboration. And we saw during the COVID pandemic, our managers, clinicians, communities, and especially the private-public partnerships that were established to you know, to respond to the pandemic. And we really need to identify and use community assets and leadership structures and community-based services to strengthen the health care for our most vulnerable children. Then we also need good epidemiology and disease surveillance. And we saw with COVID, our dashboards were set up and our data really made a big difference in the monitoring and the response to the COVID pandemic. Then we also need to ensure that there's appropriate allocation of resources by prioritizing the basic health services for children, and especially of the most vulnerable children. These include the newborns and children with disabilities, long-term health conditions, and also our teenagers, and to make sure that no one is left behind. We really also need some catch-up strategies and to look at the gaps and look at ways to catch up on the surgeries that weren't done and you know, all these services that were neglected. And we should also make better use of the community health workers in our response to pandemics or even future pandemics.
Is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I think the last thing that I want to add is that no one can do this alone. I think we need each other. Like I said, with the communities, the leadership structures, everyone needs to come together in a response to a pandemic like this. And we need to make sure that the essential health services for children are protected and it's not lost, to avoid any immediate or long-term damage to child health. And I think if we all work together, then we can ensure that our children will develop and that they will thrive, and that they will one day become the children that we want them to be.
Thanks for doing this interview with me, Dr. Mari.
You are listening to RX Radio
for and by children.
RX Radio. RX Radio rocks.